It's not anything that we haven't seen before. Their point guard's good. She can shoot on a dime. She's really good at getting open and shooting quickly. So, you know, we're going to have to know where she's at on the floor all the time.
St. Joe's Tipton Blue Jay head coach Leah Bergman as the Lady Blue Jays get ready for state competition today. 4 o'clock is the tip-off as they'll be in Great Bend at Bard Community College to take on Hutch Central Christian. 16-7 is their record. St. John's Tipton 20-4. And Dusty had a chance to catch up with Coach Bergman yesterday. We'll play that interview coming up in just a moment. Also coming up, K-State in Focus, brought to you by Heineken Electric, Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, will join us in about 5 to 6 minutes to talk KU basketball. After we are done chatting with Brian, we will talk to the new head coach of the Smith Center football team, Mike Rogers. So a very busy show coming up for you. And there is only one area team that in our listening area that we are covering at state today. And then there's one tomorrow, and that's the St. John's Tipton boys. And we'll preview their matchup coming up tomorrow on the Sports Ticket. The Phillipsburg girls are in action today as they're the number one. I think they're number one seed, even though they're undefeated, and with Goodland won a coin flip. Mm-hmm. Southeast Saline is there the number two seed. They play tomorrow on the boys' side of things. Anybody else I leave out?
Just TMP from the Mid-Continent League on the boys' side plays today. So, yep, okay. That'd be about it. And the Hoxie girls from the MCL play tomorrow. So,
all right, so let's jump into the interview with Coach Bergman.
And welcome back here on Katy Country 94 Sports. We're joined by Leah Bergman, the coach of the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jay basketball team. Coach, getting sent to compete in the state tournament for the third consecutive year here as you are headed to Great Bend again in 1A Division II, opening out with the Central Christian Lady Cougars out of Hutchinson. As you first look at your team and getting to this point, how do you feel about where the girls are at as you head into the state tournament with a nice win over Thunder Ridge over Substate on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm super proud of our girls, you know, making it third year in a row. They made it in volleyball, making it in basketball again. It's just kind of a testament to our group of girls as a whole and how athletic they are and how well they play together, regardless of what sport they're playing. So super proud of them for making it again. You know, getting back to state's kind of, you know, the initial monkey off your back, you know. I think once Lauren Duber graduated, I think some people thought that our team wouldn't be able to compete as well as we had been with her there. And I think that, you know, getting back that first year after she graduated was huge for us, just because it kind of solidified, gave our girls confidence that, yeah, you know, we are still a team. You know, Lauren was a great player, but, you know, they could still play without her. And then to get back again this year, just kind of, you know, as far as confidence goes, and just kind of solidifies the fact that we are a good team. We are one of the better teams, top teams in the state, and we belong there. So I was super proud of them for making it back.
Again, as you get into the state tournament here and get set to take on Central Christian, they're a team, obviously, that, I mean, no matter what, if you get to this point, you put in the work by this point of the season, and they won the Burton Substate and have made it to the state tournament here. So when you look at Central Christian, obviously, as I prepare for them, they have a point guard averaging 20.5 points a game, and Kaylee Kaufman, who's the coach's daughter there, really nobody else that's healthy right now that's averaging double figures for them. But this matchup, what do you see when you look at it, and what do you expect to see there on Wednesday?
Yeah, I watched some of their games. They look like a physical team. You know, they kind of play defense kind of like we do, where they're up in your face, getting their hands on the ball. So, you know, I've talked about that all season, how those early games and those bigger games that we played against, you know, Osborne and Sylvan, some of those bigger schools where they play that physical ball, that's really going to help us when we get to the state level. So, It's not anything that we haven't seen before. You know, their point guard's good. She can shoot on a dime. She's really good at getting open and shooting quickly. So, you know, we're going to have to know where she's at on the floor all the time. And then, you know, we're going to rely on our players. And you know, we've got a lot of girls scoring now. You probably can't say, you know, this person's going to have this many points every night, because we're capable, any of our girls are capable of going for 10 plus points a night. So you can't just hone in on one girl and take her out of the equation and expect to win, because we've got lots of girls who are capable of scoring and have stepped up big towards the end of the season, and that's the best time to be playing your best basketball is towards the end of the season, and I think that we're definitely doing that, and I hope we can continue that on Wednesday.
Just kind of looking overall at this tournament, how tough do you feel this is? Maybe a draw for you. I know you need to get past that first game first, but as you kind of look at the rest of the teams in this year, how do you feel about this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whoever we were going to play, you know, they're at state for a reason, so they're one of the top teams. So regardless of who we play, I think we would have had our hands full, a tough challenge. So, you know, hopefully we can get through this first one, and then we'll kind of figure out who we're playing next. But, you know, we've got, I think, Hanover on our side, and they're undefeated. Our girls played them in volleyball, so they're familiar with some of these teams, which I think helps us a little bit, kind of takes some of that fear factor away of, you know, going to state and being too wide-eyed where, you know, you're in a new environment with, you know, teams that you haven't seen. You know, those girls making it to state in volleyball, I think is going to help us as far as confidence go, because they've seen these girls before. They've played against them. They know that they can hang with them. And so, you know, regardless of who we were matched up against, we just have to do the things that we are good at. And hopefully we can play up to our potential and come out with a win.
Leah Bergman, coach of the St. John's Tipton Lady Jays here on Katy Country 94. Coach, we thank you for taking the time, and best of luck at the state tournament this week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, again, St. John's Tipton taking on Central Christian today. The 3-seed Lady Jays 20-4, Central Christian 16-7, the number 6 seed. Again, keep an eye out today for that point guard for Central Christian, Kaylee Coplin, the 5-4 senior, averaging 20.5 points a game for Central Christian. And again, St. John's Tipton's got had a pretty balanced year scoring-wise with Carly Brummer, Jenna Gangler, Ella Wiles all averaging double figures for this squad. And they're looking forward to their third straight state tournament appearance here today as the St. John's Tipton Lady Jays will take on Central Christian on Katy Country 94 and also online, katycountry94.com. We'll have pregame coverage this afternoon at 3:45 and tip off at 4 o'clock between the Lady Jays and Lady Cougars here today. St. John's Tipton is number 4 in the final KBCA rankings this year, and Central Christian number 8, so they've both kind of been toward the top in that here throughout the season. So again, Central Christian, St. John's Tipton coming up today. You good? Oh. The Lady Jays, again, with pregame at 3:45 and tip-off at 4 o'clock today here on Katy Country 94.
It's Thursday, and that means it's time to talk to a professional who would never forget a name.
So I wish your son Miller all the best.
My name is Noah!
Why? Because his voice is so velvety smooth.
Yo, Vanilla, kick it one time, boy.
It makes the girls go,
oh my.
He's a rapper so fly.
Philadelphia, born and raised. On the playground is where I spent most of my days. Chilling out, laxing, relaxing, or cooling, or shooting some b-ball outside of the school.
He makes Eminem want to cry. It's the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Hee.
The hairbrush is my microphone, and I'd be, you know, jamming out, looking in the mirror, you know, acting out their songs on bended knee. Point is, I love Boyz II Men.
Right now on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency at 118 North Millen Beloit. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Call them at 738-5701.
And it is time to talk to the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney, brought to you as always by Anderson Insurance Agency in Beloit. Brian, how you doing? Are you ready for this Big 12 tournament?
Doing well, my friend. Yeah, excited. I was over there last night for our annual Big 12 broadcasters dinner, and we'll check into the hotel here when I hang up with you and get ready to get down to work here. But hopefully it's a full weekend of games for us, but wouldn't surprise me to see anything with a field this good. I think obviously the expectation for Kansas is to at least make it to Friday, but at that point, I mean, you're talking about nothing but top 20 teams still projected to be alive. So this could be as exciting and as even of a field and as just highly competitive as we've ever seen a Big 12 tournament. And I know you've heard that before, but this year truly is at an all-time high.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on the last game because KU had already wrapped up the Big 12 outright title but did not play that well against Texas on the road. Do you think it was just a matter of they needed to just kind of catch their breath? I mean, to win this conference, the toughest conference in America by far, to win it outright and to work so hard to win some of those grinders that you and I have talked about week in and week out, do you think they just maybe kind of, I don't want to say hit a wall, but it was kind of like, you know what, we can exhale a little bit and they'll regroup for the Big 12 tournament?
You know, they'd never officially say that out loud.
Sure.
But you can't underestimate the psychological effect deep down in the back of your mind that you've already clinched. And even though you're told, hey, the number one overall seed is a really big deal and this would be a huge win toward that end, you can't help but think to some degree the pedal got taken off the metal, just psychologically, very subtly. And in a league this good, any type of step back or let down is going to lead to a big, big difference, and especially when you're playing on the road against a really good Texas team that's a projected 2 seed nationally and was having a senior night for 5 seniors. So, I think Kansas probably lost a little bit of their edge, and it was just enough. Obviously, from a minutes play standpoint, they played to win this thing. It didn't really let off the gas at all. I thought if there was any moment where Self was kind of waving a white flag, it's when he put Zach Clements in and allowed him to play through 3 bad possessions in a row. To me, that was we've already clinched. This guy hasn't played in 3 weeks. Let's just see what he's got. His parents are here. Let's see if he can find a little bit of rhythm before we go to the Big 12 so we're not just throwing him into the deep end of the pool in postseason play. But Zach, who hadn't played since the knee injury in Ames, and that includes all 7 wins on the win streak, you know, comes in, immediately turns it over, chucks up a 3 that misses badly, then turns it over again, and that was that. But that was early in the game when Ernest Uday or someone else could have come in, and that was really the only sign I saw of, well, we're going to play it a little bit differently here. And I think Self just felt like, well, if he sparks us to a comeback, great, but more than anything, we're going to kind of take the rust off. Otherwise, I thought he played straight up with the way he normally played, minute dispersion and that kind of thing. So, it's unfortunate it went the way it did. It's unfortunate we haven't won there in 3 years now, but no big deal in the grand scheme of things because you left that day in the minds of Seth Davis, Joe Lenardi, Nick Vitale, and several others still as the overall national 1 seed, even with the loss. So obviously you got to back it up with a little more now in Kansas City than had you won. But it's still a pretty good perch to be on in the minds of a lot of national media.
Absolutely. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always every week by Anderson Insurance Agency to do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Midland Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. Of course, when you win the conference, you're going to get lots of accolades. The Big 12 Player of the Year unanimously was Jalen Wilson. DeJuan Harris, Defensive Player of the Year. Most Improved Player was KJ Adams. Kevin McCuller, DeJuan Harris, were noted on other teams there. Great Dick, newcomer team, and also freshman team, and so forth and so on. That's always nice to get those accolades, certainly. And we were talking yesterday a little bit about this. Brian, I like your quick take on this, is that when we talk about different levels of sports, whether it's pro or college, or even if you want to go high school with all league, is that you've got the Most Valuable Player Award, which says valuable in it. There's the Player of the Year. There's the Heisman Trophy, which some people punish players that are on teams that have 3 or 4 losses when it's supposed to be the best player in America. So why does it matter how many losses you have? In the Most Valuable Player, you know, the Chiefs won 12 games before Mahomes was the starting quarterback with Alex Smith at quarterback and won a division. I'm not saying Mahomes not a Most Valuable Player, but the question is, you know, who is the most valuable? And we were talking about this yesterday, Brian, that Jalen Wilson is the Player of the Year. I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that per se. Marquise Noel certainly maybe should have had a vote or two, perhaps, according to K-State fans. Whether that doesn't really matter. I mean, Jalen Wilson's still going to win it. But at the end of the day, he's the Player of the Year. I don't think there's a lot of debate about that per se. But the Most Valuable Player, if you called it the Most Valuable Player, you could easily give that award that Wilson's not even the most valuable player on the team. That's DeJuan Harris.
I actually agree, and it's so funny because I'm going to take you back to Austin, Texas on Saturday. And, you know, there was another guy you could have voted for, and that was Marquise Noel of Kansas State. Not that any of us thought he should win it. It's just there was competition. And after the broadcast was over, it was me, Greg Gurley, and Keith Langford talking off the air, off the record, just three guys having a chat. And we're all in agreement that Jalen should get it. But, you know, we mentioned there might be a threat in there. And then Keith steps up out of nowhere and says, well, you know, I might not think he gets it because when Kansas made its push to be not just the best team in the conference but the best team in the country, Jalen actually was struggling, and it was DeJuan Harris that helped carry KU in that seven-game win streak. And I was thinking to myself, spot on.
Yeah.
I mean, really, DeJuan was the MVP in the win streak, and that's, you know, seven of the 18 games in the league. Jalen was so good early and had a historically good five-game stretch in terms of scoring the ball that in the minds of a lot, he had it sewed up individually so long as the team collectively finished on the number one, you know, spot in the league standings. And so I think in a lot of voters' minds, it was already sewn up. But if you look at when this team came together and what the most key contributor was on both ends of the floor, because, again, here's a guy who winds up winning Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year on top of what he brings offensively. And during that win streak had the astounding assist-to-turnover ratio and was hitting threes at 43% now on the season for DeJuan. I agree with you. I mean, I think the best way to put it is Jalen is most outstanding,
yep,
and DeJuan is most valuable. And then, to be honest, Kevin McCullough isn't too far behind him.
Agreed.
And it was great to see some individual accolades thrown his way by The Athletic this week. They had their All-American, All-Glue Guy team, and it was just five guys from all conferences put together. You know, the whole nation boiled down to five guys. And the captain of those five guys on the all-glue guy team essentially saying the most important glue guy in the whole nation is Kevin McCullough. And I was so happy to see that.
Yeah, I've been preaching that for a long time. I know you and I've talked about it. I mean, we both agree with that wholeheartedly, no doubt. All right, the Big 12 tournament gets underway tonight. West Virginia, Texas Tech at 6 o'clock. The winner of that plays KU tomorrow at 2. Pregame at 1:30 on Z96.3 Lake. The other game tonight, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. Baylor, Iowa State, the 11:30 game tomorrow. Then KU will play, as I mentioned. Texas will play the Oklahoma State, Oklahoma winner tomorrow at 6. And then K-State, TCU will be a tremendous nightcap, a battle there. They split their first two meetings. That's the 3 versus the 6, 8:30 tomorrow night. You know, you look at this tournament, you talk about how tough it is. There's no guarantee that Kansas wins the first game they play in, because West Virginia almost beat them at Allen very recently. Texas Tech nearly beat KU at Allen recently. It was a dogfight. KU pulled one out of the fire down in Lubbock earlier this year. I mean, there are years where you sit here and say, well, KU might not win the Big 12 tournament, but we at least know they're going to make it to the semifinals. I don't think you can say that this year.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the only thing that makes me a little more bullish than I would have been a week ago is the fact that they look so poor on Saturday. And I think that's stuck in the crawl a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that they understand that if they lose twice in a row heading into Selection Sunday, especially with the way Saturday looked in Austin, that they probably do have to say goodbye to being in the Kansas City region, and that would go to Houston instead. So I think that we'll see a really dialed in and really motivated team. But to your point, the competition is so good that even if we are as dialed in as we're going to be, we could still lose. I mean, Eric Stevenson is playing really good ball right now for West Virginia. They finished the season with a flurry. And, you know, Texas Tech, it's a really tough one to put your finger on because everything that's going on with Mark Adams right now, and it's hard to say what we're going to see. Will it be an inspired effort under an interim coach? Will it be a distracted team that's ready to just pack it in and be done? I have no idea. I mean, Kevin O'Banner yesterday at the podium said that they're going to pull together and lean on each other and all that, said all the right things, but hard to say. But no doubt, I mean, they've got the talent to not only win tonight, but win tomorrow too, as we saw in both meetings that came down to the wire. So, it's not your typical Big 12, or at least it's not the Big 12 it used to be more than 5 years ago, where, you know, you were trotting somebody out there that was about ready to get slaughtered on Thursday, and the game started to get good on Friday. Now they're good from the jump, and you better look out. If you don't bring it, you could be going home very early.
I assume you have KU in the Big 12 Tournament Championship game final. Who do you think they will be playing if they get that far?
You know, I haven't really filled out a bracket, but obviously, you know, a third game with Texas would be what everybody's hoping for, because those are the two most talented teams in the league. They split, obviously, in the regular season. We're going to get a third game with Baylor if they avenge their Saturday loss at home to Iowa State, which was a real head-scratcher. And I'll be real with you, I didn't want to see Iowa State, or rather, I didn't want to see Baylor on the four line. And you know, that doesn't imply that I wanted to see Texas or K-State there. But I think Baylor has the firepower. It could knock KU out on Friday. Obviously, we saw that happen in Waco. We saw them up 17 in the fog. You don't want to see them catch fire, and then you're trying to rally back from down double digits on the road or in the neutral venue, even though Kansas will have a great contingent there. So I think that you know, your most likely opponents are West Virginia, Baylor, and Texas, and I think that all three of those are capable. But this is a Kansas team that's a little bit more motivated than they would have been had they won in Austin and not lost so poorly. And a motivated Bill Self team, even against a really good tournament field, is one that I would always bank on. So I think Kansas has a great shot to play to Saturday. And if they do, here's my prediction of the week. If they get Saturday, meaning two more quad one wins are added on, then I think I agree with Vitale. Yeah. I agree with Lenardi, Seth Davis. And here's the thing. I already agree with them. I already think they're worthy of that. But if you lose and tack on a seventh loss, and Houston only has two, and that loss comes on Thursday or Friday, then I think a little bit of shine comes off the argument, and that's where I think it's super important that you at least get to Saturday. If you do that, I think Kansas is the one of ones, and I think the Big 12 Coach of the Year, Jerome Tang, is awesome, but Bill Self becomes the National Coach of the Year. Seth Davis has already cast his ballot as such, and I think you're going to start to see more and more of those awards roll in. But if KU's the one of ones after losing 75% of their scoring, to me it's a slam dunk choice as his National Coach of the Year, Bill Self, which is just an unbelievable accomplishment. And you know, he said last year his players carried him as he was going through a really tough time losing his father and best friend. This year, I think in 20 seasons of Big 12 basketball, this was his best coaching job. If you look at the talent on this team, and we do have a lot of talent, but as Norm Roberts said on Hot Talk the other night, something that makes Bill great is the way he gets these players to believe they're actually better than what they are. And I think we've got a lot of guys that are playing well above the ability level they would have on any other team because Bill gets every ounce of potential out of them. And so I think that's one of his best attributes. I think it's been on display the most this particular season. And I'm really excited to see some of those awards roll in because they are so deserving. And I know he doesn't care a ton about them, or at least he wouldn't admit that he does. But I think, you know, on the heels of a season where he was good, but his players carried him through tough times, this season, in his 20th year, he shined the brightest, and he is deserving of anything he gets these next couple of weeks during college basketball awards season.
All right, time for the off-the-wall question before we let you go. Brian Hand, the voice of Jayhawks, with us. It's our Facebook question today with our station on our local morning show, Waterside Wake Up. Your favorite TV character of all time. Your favorite TV character of all time. For me, you know, Kramer of Seinfeld, always enjoyed him. Norm from Cheers, that was one of the first shows I grew up watching. What about you? Favorite character of all time on television?
Wow, man, that is tough. I'm not going to give you one, but I'm going to give you a show where I thought that every character was so well done that my favorite changed often throughout. And there's a couple of shows that do this really well, like Arrested Development is the pick, where just every comedic actor is so funny that your favorite character could change. I think that Parks and Rec is equally good in the character caliber. Just the portrayal of each character is so unique and hilarious. And The Office, I'd say if I had to pick one, it's probably Steve Carell's Michael Scott in The Office.
Yeah,
I've watched that series three times front to back. But I think when you find shows where your favorite character can change one episode to the next, that's when you know you're dealing with truly special talent, much like this KU basketball team will bring it full circle, where your favorite player in the starting lineup or your most valuable player could change one game to the next. Whether it's DeJuan or Kevin or Jalen, whoever, that means you got a really great assembly of talents, and we certainly feel that, at least in our top five. I think this is the least deep team Self has ever had, with 2012 maybe having a say in that as well. But 2012 went all the way to the title game, and we're hoping for the same for these guys.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Brian, enjoy the Big 12 tournament. It's going to be a blast. Look forward to listening to you tomorrow with the quarterfinal matchup against either West Virginia or Texas Tech, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
Take care. It's Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you, as always, by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. So we talked some KU hoops. Now it's only appropriate, especially on a Wednesday, time for K-State in Focus. It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. Why, yes, K-State also in the Big 12 tournament. If you didn't already know that, then I don't know what to tell you. They're in the same conference as KU. The K-State men are the 3 seed. They'll take on the 6 seed TCU coming up tomorrow night. Might be the best game of the quarterfinals tomorrow. 8:30, TCU beat K-State in Fort Worth, and then K-State got them back there in Manhattan. TCU's full strength now, so that's going to be a heck of a game, I think, tomorrow night at 8:30. And if they win, K-State would play then either Texas or Oklahoma State or Oklahoma in the semifinals Friday night at 8:30. As K-State, the 3 seed, the K-State women are the 9 seed, and they play tomorrow at 5 o'clock against the 8 seed Texas Tech. If they win that, they will move on and take on the number 1 seed Texas, who's really handled them easily the first 2 meetings earlier this year. So, you know, this will be our last chance to talk about when we're all together in regards to the Big 12 tournament. And I have KU and K-State meeting in the championship game. That's my prediction. That's what my bracket shows. I could easily see K-State losing to TCU and blows it up, and I can easily see. I do agree with Brian Haney about this, is that if KU had beaten Texas, I'd be very leery of that game against West Virginia, Texas Tech tomorrow. I don't think Kansas is going to lose 2 in a row. I think they have a lot to still play for in charge of that, getting that number 1 overall seed. Mm-hmm. So I think Kansas will at least punch their ticket to the semifinals. Now, I think Baylor might be Baylor might be the toughest matchup for KU, because Baylor did beat KU at Waco. Baylor's up 17 in the first half, and then KU figured it all out. So that's a very dangerous semifinal game. But I've got KU and K-State in the final. That's what I got.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Monday, who we picked to win the conference tournament, and I picked K-State just because I'm picking my team, and it's a crapshoot. I mean, any team could get hot here the next 3-4 days and get the win.
Teams could lose.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to agree with you that it's KU and K-State in the championship if I stick to my guns and when I pick K-State to win it, right?
Yeah.
I don't think – I mean, logical choice would be to put KU in there on the other side, so –
Now, K-State could win the Big 12 tournament. They might move themselves up from a 3 seed to a 2 seed. Yeah. Right now, the bracketology shows K-State as a 3 seed, and it looks like the last 3 seed in some situations. They could move up to a 2, possibly, so they certainly have a lot to play for. Kansas, meanwhile, it has the number 1 overall seed to play for, and there's no guarantee Houston's going to run the gamut and win their tournament. If they get upset, then KU might not have to win this tournament or even get to the championship game. Alabama, if they end up being a 1 seed, they're going to take the South region. UCLA is probably going to be the other 1 seed. They're going to take the West. So it really comes down to Kansas and Houston in regards to – and I still think – I'm with you. You said the other day, if Kansas loses the next game, I still think they should be number 1 seed over Houston in the region because of the strength of schedule and all the quad 1 wins and the conference they played in.
Yeah.
But as Brian said, you have 7 losses in the loss column, and Houston has 2, assuming they win the AAC. And in KU bounce in their own quarterfinals. But once again, shouldn't there be more weight put on a regular season championship? Then there should be just getting hot for 3 days.
Yeah, and your strength of schedule should obviously be factored into that as well. I mean, there's teams that are usually good in the American Athletic Conference that are just not the same teams anymore, like the Cincinnati's, and obviously Wichita State is an example. Over the last couple of years, it's been a good team, but you know they've kind of fallen off. And so I think the strength of schedule and the quad one wins that KU has should, I mean, have them in that spot already, in my opinion. But again, I'm not the one that makes the decisions there.
The number 1 seeds appear to be Alabama, Kansas, regardless what happens. Mm-hmm. Kansas, Alabama, Houston. I think there's 5 teams in play for this, possibly. There's Alabama's a one, Kansas is a one. I think UCLA is the one in the West. I don't think there's really any question about that right now. And then I think it's between Houston and Purdue for the final overall number one. And Purdue plays in the Big Ten, Houston AAC. Purdue's not been playing great lately, but I do think that their overall resume is pretty good. So I think there's a possibility if Houston gets knocked off, say, early in their AAC tournament in the quarters or semis, and Purdue makes a deep run in the Big Ten, that Purdue might steal a one seed from that standpoint, and then Houston be a two. But other than that, do you see the more than is there a team outside the top five that you think is going to be a number one seed? It seems to me like it's fairly clear cut. It's just a matter of who, what region the one seeds are. I don't know if I'm overlooking anybody or not, but
you would probably know better than I would. I don't feel like you're overlooking anybody at that point. Purdue, obviously, I think is that next team in line to get it if somebody falters here, but. Otherwise, I don't.
I mean, Marquette's not going to get a one seed. Yeah. I don't know if Texas would run the table. Could they steal? Could they steal a one seed? I think they're probably a two seed in the South with Houston as a one, or not Houston, Alabama. Well, but then again, Alabama, Houston would both want the South if the Midwest is taken with KU. So, yeah, who's the East? I mean, really, there's nobody from the East area. So.
Yeah.
Who would go? Who would end up doing the East? It'd probably be whoever's the fourth number one.
Whoever's left, stuck basically. With it. Yeah.
But I don't. Marquette is sixth in the country. I don't think they're getting a one seed. Gonzaga's not getting a one. Arizona, I guess if they. I think UCLA is pretty solid as a one the way they're going. So, I think what we're trying to say is K-State's solidly on the three line. They have a chance to move up to possibly two, and KU's solidly on the one line with a possibility to be the overall number one.
Yeah.
Would we agree with that?
The loss at West Virginia obviously bounced K-State from that two spot if people were thinking about that. So now I think your only real chance to get the two seed is to win the whole tournament here. So.
I would agree with you. Our focus on K-State Athletics today brought to you, as always, by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. We previewed state basketball. Of course, St. John's Tipton late Blue Jays playing today at 4 o'clock, pregame at 3:45 against Hutch Central Christian. The boys will play tomorrow, St. John's Tipton, at 8 o'clock, pregame at 7:45 against Lebo. Both those games from Great Bend of Barton Community College. Dusty with the call today and tomorrow, St. John's Tipton Blue Jay basketball at state. Thanks to our sponsors, make all that possible. Make sure you download the free KD Country 94 app on your smartphone so you can listen if you're outside the area. And as if this week wasn't busy enough, there's some coaching changes. Ross Coombs is going to be the head coach at Phillipsburg. And then, of course, just down to the road to the East, Smith Center now has their new head football coach. I'll let you segue in as you had a chance to talk to the new Smith Center head football coach after Darren Sass, of course, stepped aside recently.
Yeah, nobody thought they were going to be leaving town, somebody that's in town right now or somebody that's been there before at Smith Center, and they stayed right on the staff again just like they did last time around, as Mike Rogers, the longtime assistant, has been named the new head coach for the Smith Center Redmond football team. And he's a 1984 grad. He knows the program well. He's been an assistant since 2000 there, and we'll chat with him about some of that and much more as we were joined by the new head coach of the Smith Center Redmond, Mike Rogers. Welcome back on the Sports Ticket, KD Country 94 Sports. Dusty Don is joined now by the new head football coach of the Smith Center, Redmond, Mike Rogers, with us. Coach, first of all, congratulations on getting the new gig. I know this is kind of old hat to you. You've been with the program all the way since back in 2000 and before that since 92 when you came back home to Smith Center. You were the junior high head football coach. So obviously, you know the area. Everybody in town knows who you are. So it's kind of probably a bit of a seamless transition, but you're not going to go changing anything up, are you, with Redmond football, right?
No, I don't think it's any big changes. You know, I think the people who've been a part of Redmond football since Coach Barta came in, a 77, you know, a 40-plus years of watching Redmond football, expect certain things. You know, I don't think they want to show up on a Friday night and not recognize what we're doing.
When you look at that, though, and now understand that you are the head coach, what does it mean to you to be in those shoes now? And obviously you've got some big shoes to fill as far as when you take over the head coaching position, but I know that Coach Barta and Coach Sass would both tell you that your whole staff has really been the reason that you've had this much success. But what does it mean for you to be called the head coach now?
No, well, you know, it's a great honor. We've had great coaches here, and that's, you know, one of the only reasons why that I agreed to do it is because I knew I'd have other great coaches around me. So football's not a job where one coach can do everything. It takes great assistants to be around you, and I know we'll still have that here. So that was one reason why I decided to step up and take the job.
When you kind of look back at what you guys have been able to accomplish there at Smith Center and kind of looking forward, when you see all that, what's the energy like when you take over this program and moving forward as the head coach, and what do you feel like this program can continue to do?
Well, I think the expectation of Smith Center always is you'd like to be the last team standing at the end of the year, and that's kind of always the attitude that we've had going into every year, and we don't want that to change. We're just going to try to identify the things that we think we can do a little bit better and try to get better at those things and just keep doing what we've been doing for the last 40 years. To think that I'm the third coach in Smith Center in the last 40 years, that's has something to say about the consistency, and I think that's one of the very big reasons why we've been so successful is because we've been consistent in who's been running the program and what we do in the program. So, we're looking to keep that pretty much the same.
I know, obviously, as you were an assistant coach and moving to the head coaching position, that will leave kind of a vacancy and a spot for another assistant coach to come in. Do you have any idea how you fill out the staff? And does the rest of the staff kind of just stay the same and just move forward?
That's something that we're still working on. I'm trying to figure out who that person is going to be and how we're going to fill Coach Sass's spot. We've got some people in mind, and we've got some good people on our junior high staff right now that the majority of them have been former Smith Center players as well. So, we're still trying to work out those details, but, it's probably going to have a pretty heavy Smith Center flavor to it.
Mike Rogers, the new head coach of the Smith Center Redmond football team. Coach, I certainly thank you for taking some time to be with us here. Congratulations on the new gig, and we'll look forward to talking with you in the fall, all right?
Sounds great.
So that is your new head coach of the Smith Center football team, Mike Rogers. Played at the University of Kansas, was a part of the first state championship team under Coach Barta there at Smith Center. So keep everything in-house. It makes sense. There's a tremendous stability with the football program up at Smith Center, and really with about every sport the Smith Center has. We talked about this yesterday, Nick Lynn with the girls volleyball, girls basketball, and of course the football team with the stability that they've had all these years, and wrestling's had a lot of stability with their coaches too. And so I think most people expect not to be really any drop-off at all with Smith Center. They just expect to have a great record. They're expected to be right there in the mix for a state championship year in and year out, regardless what classification they're in. And that's called a tradition, and that's called a program. There's no doubt. And so if you missed that interview, or if you missed the interview we had with Leah Bergman of St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays, those should be posted here in just a little while on social media. You can go to our KD Country 94 Facebook page. You go to KDCountry94.com, and you can listen to those interviews if you missed them or any others that we've done. We'll have the Brian Haney interview posted here in just a little bit as well, so you can enjoy all of that on a very busy show today, as we appreciate Leah Bergman joining us, Mike Rogers joining us as well, new head coach of Smith Center football, and Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Once again, program is scheduled for today, 3:45 pregame, 4 o'clock is tip-off. It's the St. John's Tipton Lady Blue Jays, the number 3 seed against the 6 seed Hunch Central Christian, and that will be at 3:45 pregame today on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com from Great Bend at Barton Community College. Tomorrow we got KU basketball, 1:30 pregame, as the Jayhawks will take on either West Virginia or Texas Tech, and tip off at 2 tomorrow on Z96.3 The Lake. If KU moves on, we'll have them on Friday, and if they move on to the Big 12 Tournament Championship, we'll have that on Saturday on Z96.3 The Lake. St. John's Tipton boys tomorrow, 7:45 pregame tip off, 8 o'clock against Lebo, and we'll have that one for you tomorrow on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com, and we will be joined by Lance Bergman tomorrow on the Sports Ticket to talk about his matchup, not his matchup, but the team's matchup against the Lebo Wolves. So that's all coming up tomorrow on the Sports Ticket on a Thursday. And we had Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, on today because he is, of course, getting prepared for his game tomorrow at the Big 12 tournament against either West Virginia or Texas Tech. And so we had him on a day early to fit his schedule and make things better for him. And we appreciate his flexibility, and I know he appreciates ours. And so that's why we had Brian on today on a Wednesday. And once again, thank you to Anderson Insurance Agency for allowing us to have Brian Haney on each and every week to talk Jayhawk athletics. Big thank you to Heineken Electric and Beloit Hanson Auction Realty and Beloit for allowing us to talk K-State sports and In Focus every week as well on Wednesdays. So I'll wrap up the show for today. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great day. Enjoy. enjoy state basketball today. All the brackets are posted in CKSports.com, or you can go to Kasha.org. And for all the area teams that are still alive, best of luck to them in state competition. And then once we get through Saturday, guess what? We're into the spring sports season, if you believe it or not.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.